Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot to me. My name's Megan, and this is the podcast where I call up friends and we talk about touring, we talk about snacks, and anything and everything in between. Today's guest is Alex Vissia. She releases her music under just her last name, Vissia, so be sure to look her up. When I think about the artist-to-artist connection and that important relationship, where you share bills, you share shows, you tour together, you co-write together, whenever for the last few years, whenever we were going to Edmonton, it's like, all right, let's call up Vissia and see what's up. And we played a lot of shows together, so it was really cool to get to connect with her and catch up, because I'll be honest with you folks, I'm not always the best at reaching out to people, I feel like in the old life it was just easy, because I was always working with my friends. So anyways, this podcast, big shout out to the Creative City Center for asking me to do this, so I actually, connect with people. Okay, Alex Vissia and I, we talk about venue heaven. Sad. We talk about astrology. Fun. We talk about A&W. Good. This is not an ad, A&W, but if you're listening, hit a guy up, okay? All right, and we also talk about the time that Shiloh, my dog, and I took a road trip and to the place where Alex Vissia recorded her upcoming record. So let's get right to it. Okay, today's guest is Alex Vissia, a.k.a. Vissia. Alex, thank you so much for being a guest. It's nice to see your face.
You too.
I feel like
you too.
We haven't talked in a while, and I selfishly am using this podcast as an excuse to call friends, because my Venus is in Capricorn, and I'm serious. I feel like I don't like this about myself, but I have a hard time reaching out to friends for friendship when it's not work related, and I think that's why in the old life we used to hang out a lot, mm-hmm. considering we were in different provinces,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my Venus is in Pisces, so I don't understand that part about you. So, in my fourth house, I will also add. So,
well, that's totally fair. And this is something I'm trying to work on. Like, it's pretty sad that I need a podcast in order to reach out to people.
No. It's a good step in the right direction.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I honestly feel like I've been talking about in this podcast is how I met people, how mm-hmm. I toured for years, and the artist-to-artist connections and relationships and friendships that came from touring in this lifestyle. And when I think about one of the longest running friendships and that artist to artist connection, and how much you and I we've toured together over the years, we've put on shows in each other's towns for each other. I feel like we've been doing that out of everybody I know. I think you and I have been doing that. We've been doing that together for a long time, probably the longest out of anybody else I know or have met through the industry. And it's pretty cool. And I feel like it's coming up. It's got to be close to 10 years now.
Yeah, I think it's coming up about the 10-year mark, because I feel like when we played that first show together at Wonder Bar, may it rest in venue heaven, in Edmonton, it was 2011, and it was just when I started playing solo shows, really, I think. And so, yeah, that was 10 years ago.
It is. Oh, venue heaven. That's such a sad term. I really hope that we don't have too many venues in venue heaven by the end of this pandemic. Yeah. Let me tell you, the Wonder Bar, that was that seemed to be a bit of a hub for a lot of artists, mm-hmm. in Edmonton.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of the indie underground scene, lots of touring acts too, and lots of kind of prominent ones would come through, but it was a dark, dank loving space where everyone could go to, you know, just be with one another and get sweaty and watch shows. Like, oh, I remember just in the summer, it would get so hot in there. And it was also the first place where I first started doing any type of live sound tech work on the jankiest board ever. It was like, you had to know the ins and outs. Be like, okay, don't use that channel. That won't work there. Oh, and also this part doesn't work. Like, oh my gosh, there were some stressful moments, but it was, yeah, it was a sweet place.
And when did that one close? Was that before the pandemic it closed?
Yeah. I don't remember which year, but yeah, it just ended up kind of running its course. It's a hard go on White Ave with just like the cost of having a business there, and like especially a music venue that really didn't have that large of a capacity. So it's like financially it was just kind of, I think, a bit of a bust for them. But it is, yeah, definitely, I think it has a special place in many, many hearts. So lest we forget.
Yeah. That was the first tour I ever did. Like, I had done a few shows in Saskatchewan, but I was on the road with Tyler Gilbert. He had a van. I think it was maybe like an old utility van or something that he converted. Or no. At that point, I don't think it was converted. I think he converted it later into having bunk beds. I don't know if he had bunk beds yet in it then. But yeah, we were touring in his van. I think that was the first time that was my first tour. That was the first time I slept in a Walmart parking lot. You know, it was like the first time that I was, yeah, was ever playing shows in Alberta. And yeah, 10 years ago. And I met you then. And then I don't remember how it happened, but we just kept on crossing paths. I was based out of Moose Jaw for a while. For the listeners at home that don't know, I was based out of, I lived in a band house in downtown Moose Jaw for a while. And whenever you were coming through town there playing Java Express, another venue in Venue Heaven, like the building is still there and they're still doing shows there. Well, actually one of the last shows I played before the pandemic hit was at the Hive, back in the day it used to be Java Express. And what I loved about that venue is that the stage was right by the door. So, well, I loved, and maybe wasn't the best, but like if you were late for the show, everybody knew, you know, we could all just like, we're sitting there watching the band and then someone walks in and they're late and we just all stare at them yeah, but there were so many great shows there. And then you were playing that little place on High Street too, Cargano's. You've played a lot of places in Moose Jaw, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're starting out on the road with zero experience, touring experience, and you're just trying to like play as many shows as possible in literally any space that will have you, I feel like, you know, like playing a lot of those smaller places in small towns, like, I mean, and Moose Jaw isn't even the smallest town that either of us has played, but like, and, you know, and you're just trying to like draw on the connections that you do have. So it's like, oh, I know Megan Nash and Moose Jaw. Hey, Megan, it's your pal Alex. Want to hook me up with a show?
Yeah.
Maybe a couch to sleep on? Like, I don't know. I think that's, yeah, it's kind of like a nice, I don't know, string of memories, really. In very like baby years of being a touring artist, at least that's how I feel.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is I feel like you should have a key to the city, you know, like you went to Moose Jaw a lot. Well, like this is the campaign, this is what this podcast episode's all about, is getting Alex Vissi a key to Moose Jaw already. Because you did give Moose Jaw a lot of love. You did, you know, and not everybody, you know, yeah. Moose Jaw is on the number one highway, but not everybody thinks to stop there. And I remember, like, you gave Moose Jaw a lot of love.
Was Chillers was a place too?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I played there too.
You played Chillers. You played a house show in the band house that I lived in. You played Java Express. You played...
There was another bar type
Cargano's, spot. Cargano's. But... You played... Yeah, you played a lot of venues. And actually the thing with, you know, thinking of these venues now in Moose Jaw, Java is now the Hive, which will have music sometimes, but it is a different setup. And then Cargano's is totally gone. Like, that building actually burnt down, mm-hmm. unfortunately, a few years ago. And then Chillers is all renovated now, you know, and that's like, you played the old stage, and apparently they do have bands there now upstairs, but like, mm-hmm. Chillers is now, that whole bar is an off sale.
Oh, okay.
You call it off sale in Alberta, right?
I mean, I think we've got some, I don't use that word too much around here, but we just have liquor stores open till any hour. So
yeah. Yeah. I feel like
we call them liquor stores.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Well, I ask because like, I found myself in certain situations where I'm like, yeah, let's get some off sale, and people are confused.
Yeah. It's not really, like, cause it, like, if there are breweries or restaurants that, you know, brew their own beer, like there's kind of off sales that way. Like,
oh, okay.
Consider that, because you can just walk in and buy, you know, a 4-pack of tall cans or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally it's just like all liquor stores, and you can get all the types of booze in one place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like beer store, and then like in Ontario.
Right. Right.
Yeah. With the Wild West with liquor stores.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And then I went in there since they renovated it, and it's an off sale. And I was like, for years, so many musicians in Moose Jaw wanted Chillers to have like a really great stage, and they had a stage, mm-hmm. but they wanted a bigger one, and they finally put in this bigger stage, and then it's all renovated now. So I went in there a couple years ago now, and I'm like, wait a second, like, where was the old stage? And the person working was like, oh, it's probably like right here, and like where we were, where I was buying this. And my heart just sank. I was like, so many people worked for years to get a nice stage at Chillers, and it wasn't the perfect venue, but it was a venue in Moose Jaw, you know, like the one. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. My brain is racing now, just thinking about all the places where we used to make music happen in that place, in that city. But yeah, tried for years to get it. And then it turned into an off sale. Did you ever play the Park Hotel? That was another place that had bands sometimes.
No, I didn't. No.
No. They would have music there sometimes too, but so many
never played the theater either. So,
yeah, that's actually a bit of an issue though in Moose Jaw, you have like the coffee shops, which is, mm-hmm. you know, 50, 60 people, and then you jump right up to 420 people in a soft cedar theater. Like, there isn't really an in between, a middle ground venue. No. But so we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens at the end of, this, because I do feel like there is a need. There definitely is a need for it. And, yeah, I don't know. I do love Moose Jaw, and I believe in that city. I believe in that city, and there are some really great things that are happening there. And there's also a lot of work to be done still. But we've done a bit of touring too, like going into smaller centers together. I was trying to think of the town that we played. I was reminiscing, thinking, leading up to this conversation, thinking about that time that we played like a song circle or just like songs back and forth in this small town. It was a hall, and...
Oh yeah, that was in Alberta.
Yeah, in Alberta.
Right, like
together.
That was central Alberta. That was Markerville.
Oh, okay.
Did we do that? Yeah, we did that back and forth there. Yeah. It was like that's where it was, Markerville. And we stayed with that really lovely couple at their like farm.
Yes.
Remember? It was like, and they just like, we went after the show there, and they had like all of these snacks for us and like beers, and we just like got to visit with them. And then the next day we got to meet their, had a pig and like a horse, and yeah, you were loving the pig. I remember that. Yeah.
I
had a really cute dog.
Yeah. Yep. I forgot about that part. Yeah, no, that's such a nice memory. I loved that pig. I can't remember the breed of that pig, but that pig was so cool. And that pig was very calm, and I got to pet him. I got to pet that pig. Yeah. And yeah. what a nice memory. And that was actually, they were a really sweet couple, and I wish I knew their names and their email address to keep in touch.
I know. I remember them giving me a business card with their personal information on it, which was really cute. But I don't know. I feel like I've probably misplaced it since then. But yeah, Markerville is a very sweet little spot. I've played. They have an old church there, and they did some summer afternoon Sunday concerts there a couple years ago. It would have been 2019, but yeah, just like a little old church, you know, high ceiling and like really good acoustics. And yeah, they have the creamery there. Like there's a real history there. But yeah, very, very sweet people. So yeah, that was a good little tour. I think we just did like a handful of dates, more like house show type shows, but it was like really kind to both of us.
Yeah, totally. I remember
that being really good.
Yeah, totally. And I miss those like really fun moments with billets, like when you're put up in somebody's house. And I sometimes find it, like, it's probably one of the things I miss the most, and it's also one of the things at the time I would find the most challenging at times, because I feel like mm-hmm. I'm not always a very good morning person. And you know, like, I feel like when you're playing a house show and then you're staying at that person's house, it feels like the show isn't over. I'm not trying to sound like I'm fake, but I feel like the show is not over until you're like, you leave the next day and like you're in your car and then you fully decompress because you're not being social mm-hmm. anymore. But in saying that, honestly, Alex, I don't know how you feel, but that's a part of it. That's a part of touring that I miss the most right now, is like going to people's homes and, mm-hmm. and just like, yeah, getting to meet their animals.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like how many, I mean, obviously, you know, just trying to keep costs down on tour. Like it always makes the most sense to try and do a billet or like stay with someone. But I find like the older I've gotten, the more it just like there are certain kind of limitations for me now where I'm like, okay, like I'll do this because, you know, financially it makes sense and it's great. But there are certain situations that you're like, I would just rather spend the $90 or whatever for a motel or hotel room, because sometimes it's just more comfortable. And like, it takes so much energy just to like go day to day, especially like touring across Canada, because it's so huge. So sometimes you just need that space and time to yourself. Like, I don't know, I think realizing that a lot more through this pandemic too. It's just so much time spent alone, and it's actually quite good for me. So
yeah, no, I feel that, because as much as sometimes you get to stay with folks who are so kind and are so, and are you know, just like they just give
well-meaning,
you,
well, like, yeah,
yeah, and they get to show you, you know, you get to see their animals the next day, especially if they're out on a farm, and you get to have that like that quick, you know, nature connection while you're on the road. That can be so great. But I've also been in situations where it's like I'm staying at somebody's house and I feel like, and I don't even like feel safe. Like I had this one mm-hmm. really angry Airbnb person in Ottawa once, and that was so not cool and so not fun. And so I guess, yeah, I guess like when I say I miss all the good stays, yeah. I miss all the like the good billets. I definitely don't miss like, yeah, not feeling safe on the road because somebody is like drunk and angry that I won't eat their cold ribs. Anyway, strangely, that got strangely specific. Anyways, so you mentioned that, you know, realizing these things like about yourself and how you'd like to tour in the future, like during this pandemic. What do you have any other have you had any other like realizations or any goals like for when we can tour again, how you'd like to do things differently?
I think just having the opportunity to figure out some of my like non-negotiables just day to day, like for my well-being has been good. Like, so I think the next time I go on the road, just, you know, feeling more comfortable with even expressing when, you know, you're not feeling social. And so you're going to put your headphones on and not like be part of the social aspect in the tour van if you're like in a band situation. And then health and like exercise and like eating well. I think, you know, I think I was starting to get a lot better at the eating well part before the pandemic. And I think the best way to do that is having a cooler in your vehicle so that you can go to grocery stores.
You're pro cooler.
I'm pro cooler for sure. Because especially like I'm vegan. So it's like, you know, the best case scenario if you're in a small town is maybe like A&W Beyond Meat Burger. If you're like really trying to grab something. But lots of options are very limited on the road if you're in smaller places. But I mean, the next time I do go on the road, I'm not going to be really hitting tons of smaller towns. Anyhow, they'll be kind of what you consider the bigger centers. So there are usually more options, but I just find grocery shopping just kind of keeps it simple, keeps costs down, and like I'm able to find healthy things.
Yeah.
You're getting like the nutrition that you want.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the cooler topic comes up a lot on this show because I've been like vocally anti-cooler in the past, but hear me out. If somebody is willing, like if it's your non-negotiable, if it's something that's a priority of yours, then a cooler can be a really great, important thing. Like if it's like a tool that helps you make decisions that like if eating nourishing food while you're on the road is a priority of yours, then of course, like I understand like the willingness to maintain a cooler because the maintenance is where I've let things go before. Like my cooler has turned into a compost and I still remember it was like, it's like almost, this is probably like 10 years ago and I'll never, I still remember these peppers that just got forgotten about. I remember, I can still remember them. So I feel like, okay.
You have to be careful. You have to be.
Yes.
Take care of your cooler.
Yes. Yeah. You absolutely do. And I feel like I really struggled on that tour 10 years ago to maintain the cooler because it was just, we couldn't get ice. We couldn't, I don't know. It was just like hard to keep it. It was physically hard to keep it cool just given our circumstances and like our routes mm-hmm. and stuff. So, I totally understand that. So I just want you to know where I stand on the cooler debate, which is actually not a debate, but I like to pretend it's a debate.
There are, you know, different types of coolers now. So best case scenario is you're able to invest in one that is electric so that you're not really dealing with ice.
Yeah.
You can just plug it into the car. And then when you stop wherever you're stopping, you have like the adapter for the wall outlet or whatever, because, you know, sometimes, yeah, you show up at someone's place and it's like, can I throw all of this in your fridge? Like, or, you know, even if you're not in someone's home, sometimes you're, I don't know, in a little motel or something that doesn't even have a fridge, or I don't know. It's just being able to have like veggies and like hummus and things like that, I find is really good for me anyway. Because, you know, there was the time back in my early 20s when I first started touring where we would basically start every tour going through the McDonald's drive-thru getting McGriddle meals and
McGriddle
large coffees and just like, hey, time to hit the road. Let's go. Like,
I've only had like one McGriddle in my life and I think it can be a bit heavy. You know, maybe you got a tour. If I'm going to have a McGriddle, maybe just wash it down with a probiotic. I love probiotics. I take a lot of probiotics now. I'm 31. I take a lot of magnesium. I take a lot of probiotics. When we can travel again, I need to take my supplements with me. I need to take especially my medication. But yeah, that's just something that is gonna change. Maybe I need one of those like those little pill calendar things. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like the little boxes where it like you break them up. Yeah, I've used those before. I mean, it depends like how many supplements you've got, because sometimes you have to get quite big ones, I think, to accommodate. But I don't know. I do take some supplements too, because like vitamin D for sure.
Yeah.
Especially through the winter is super important. And like vitamin B12 specifically, just like not eating meat. But yeah, it's like really prioritizing those daily things you would do at home, I think, becomes even more important when you're on the road. And like, you know, when we're younger, like you kind of just, you don't maybe value those things as much right away. It's like, oh, we're just like out here to have fun. And like, we're going to have as much fun as possible, which is still the goal. But I think like your individual well-being and health is like how you're able to carry on every day. And like, even when it comes to like partying and stuff, I can't do it like I used to anymore. So that's not really so much on my radar, but.
Oh yeah. No, I feel you on that. And like, especially with regards to drinking, like I've been probably the most, well, I took a year off drinking in my mid-20s. I actually like didn't drink for 13 months once, because I found myself just having like a few beers a few days a week, just very like all the time. It was so much a part of my life. And then I thought, do I need this? Like, and I'm such a, I don't know, you know what? I was gonna try to not say like too much like astrology references during this, but here we go. I'm such a Scorpio that I was just like all or nothing, baby. And I cut it out for 13 months to like see if I could, and it was kind of a fun challenge too, really. So but now I feel like I have a better relationship with moderation, and I've been not drinking as much too, because that was also just having like a negative impact on my mental health. And something that has been really helpful for me during this is movement, and you know, I've had to work really hard to reestablish my relationship with movement, because for the longest time in my life, movement was something that you did to make yourself smaller, to reduce yourself, you know, and to move in a way that feels good for your body and to celebrate your body in its current state, you know, is a really powerful thing, and it's an important thing. Mm-hmm. And when you are in the vehicle so much, it can be hard to still practice that. And you can, you know, I don't know too much about it. I'm not trying to go all, you know, out there or anything, but it's like, just, you know, you have, you don't want your energy is just like, it's stagnant, you know? And so in order to like encourage myself to want to keep exercising, and celebrating movement as self-care when we can tour again, like that's why I did the, like I made this, you know, goofy workout video to just be like, as a reminder for myself, it's important to keep that movement as self-care when we are doing long hauls again.
Hi there, you are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center. And today's guest is Alex Vissia, a.k.a. Vissia. Hope you enjoy.
It was the first time I took Shiloh on a road trip. We drove to Benalto to see you. And that was over 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And poor little Shiloh, he maybe got into rat poisoning at the theater in Gravelburg. Like it would have been so old, but like I was doing sound check, and like quite often people have their dogs there. I don't know if they're supposed to, but we do. Well, why not? People have their dogs there. You know, something that I wish that we had in Canada is a more liberal attitude towards dogs in public. Like in Europe, there's dogs everywhere. I guess they're maybe differently trained or something. Shiloh, no offense, little friend, but I don't think he doesn't have that much training. But anyways, they just have dogs everywhere there, and I'm like, why can't we have dogs here everywhere? But anyway, so I took Shiloh to my sound check when I was playing the theater in Gravelburg, and then like the sound tech came up to me in the middle of the sound check and was like, hey, this is bite marks on it. And I'm like, huh? And I look, it's this little puck, and it's very old, but there were bite marks in it, and it was a puck of rat poisoning that the current board never even put in there. Like this would have been like a long time ago, but I didn't want to take a chance, and I was crying, and I had to make him throw up, and I was just like so sad. I hated that. I called the vet, of course, and got the vet's information of this, but then I had to put him on K12. I think that's the vitamin. I had to put him on whatever vitamin. I had to put him on a vitamin supplement just in case he did ingest any of it. In order to give him the vitamin, I had to give him a fatty substance, which can be hard for dogs to digest. Shiloh and I go on our first road trip. And it's to see you in Benalto, Alberta, and he's on these supplements still. And that was the trip you became anti-Alex to him.
Yeah. I think there's still some little Polaroids at the studio kicking around.
I felt so bad because Shiloh, maybe I gave him a little bit too much cat food. I was giving him cat food because it has a high fat content, and then he threw up in the studio on white shag carpet.
Yeah,
like if you can,
I remember too, like, I don't know, I think I remember because like Nick, who like runs the place, he likes animals and dogs, and I think we were like, oh yeah, no problem, like Shiloh can go wherever he wants, and it's like, of course the shag carpet gets barfed on.
yeah like if you can think of like the, like I can't think of a worse place for somebody to throw up, you know, like a white,
it's literally like the carpet. Only piece of carpet. Yeah, it's like literally the only piece of carpet in that whole place, pretty much. It's like everything else is flooring, and he was like, I think I will be sick here.
Yeah But you were so kind to him, and I know both you and Nick are dog people, and I still have photos on my phone from that trip too, because that was that was so sweet. But I remember though, going upstairs, like where you have like the bedrooms and stuff, like the stairs were really beautiful wood, and Shiloh
you wouldn't do, he did it once.
I know,
up and down. It's a long scary staircase, but
yeah
from then on, he was like, I am a prince and mom will carry me.
I know. I know. And I did carry him every night. And he's such like a funny, like he's my little bulky boy. And he kind of like, he grunts all the time. And so I pick him up and would lift him, and I actually, I, because he is older and because I have like no boundaries with him, like it's, he's my little bud, he goes with me everywhere, he is my little bud, and I want him to sleep in my bed, but he will not jump up on the bed, and I don't know, he definitely can jump, I don't know what this is, but he just will not jump up on the bed. So guess what, mom, every night is I lift him up and I put him on the bed, and because he is older, I don't want him jumping off the bed, so every morning I pick him up and put him off the bed. And I think about that time in Benalto when I had to like carry him up and down that staircase. like the little prince he is. That's a pretty sweet recording studio, and that's a really, like, it's a pretty sweet space, and I'm just so so excited for what is coming out of that studio, your record, and also like seeing where that space is gonna go and keep developing, because it seems like I don't know, it just seems really freaking cool.
Yeah, it's pretty excellent. It's like nestled in just west of Highway 2 in Alberta, in central Alberta, pretty close to Sylvan Lake, and it's a residence, but more than that, it's the studio, and it's been really, really cool and exciting to see how it's comes, like how far it's come really, because when we first got out there, there was a lot of work to be done, but I'm now based in Edmonton, but I did live out there for a couple years, and that's where I recorded the new record, which is really, I don't know, the first of its kind for me, because I actually had the time to go there and just like be at the studio for weeks at a time, kind of over the course of 2 months. I was hardly home in Edmonton, and I was mostly at the studio. And I think as an artist, it's like, that kind of time is so valuable and not always easy to come by. And it just felt very, very good, I guess, for lack of a better word. But yeah, so we'll see kind of what comes next out of there. But, you know, the pandemic kind of put a damper on doing too much. But I am going in there to do some kind of live video recording soon, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, awesome. And your record is coming out soon, and people can pre-save it right now. And I love the vinyl. That's so pretty.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's really cool. It's like a, I can't remember what that color is. It's not quite white, but it's like kind of a see-through with a blue splatter kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of got a tie-dye effect in my mind. But yeah, the album's called With Pleasure, and there's 10 songs, and I've released, I think, 4 singles off of it now. Four or five?
Yeah, five, because you did the B-side.
Maybe five. Oh, that's true. Yeah. I always forget that. Yeah. So there's five tracks out already, but yeah, there'll be more, five more songs on that and some more music videos after that. So that's April 30th it comes out. But yeah, pre-sale is on the old website.
Nice, nice. So. When you're deciding like your release schedule, what do you take into consideration in today's day? Because, you know, beforehand, I feel like there was always a tour at the end of it. There was always a tour we had to rush for, or always a tour we had to organize things around. And now, but I've always looked at the moon cycles too. I don't know. Like, do you look at the moon cycles with regards to releasing?
I haven't really. No, but honestly, I don't really make the release schedule myself per se. Because Nick has a lot to do with that kind of planning and strategy. It's kind of more just thinking about like the time between releases and like, you know, wanting to do singles close enough together, but not too close together. But that is something interesting to think about. What moon cycle do you like to release on?
I usually try to release when the moon is waxing, because I just want it to keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
And going out there, I don't know, you know, I've done some things on full moons before, and I thought and afterwards I think I don't know, that was just too intense, you know. Like, maybe I just need to stick to the waxing. But like, yeah, usually in between the new moon and the full moon is when I try to release things, if it works out. I don't know, I think the one thing I do try to avoid actually is starting new projects when during Mercury retrograde, because I always feel like there's so much resistance, and it's mm-hmm. just, and like things, once we get out of it and out of the shadow period, then it's like, oh, okay, this is what actually needs to happen. And it just like, I feel like my planning during that time is just always more challenging. So I kind of need, I think in the future, you know, if I have more foresight, I should try to avoid that planning time during that time, because it just, it's never really worked out for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like with releasing things, there's always a positive way of looking at anything. So I don't know, like with release schedules and things like that, because yeah, I don't know, this last Mercury retrograde felt generally chill compared to other ones for me. I don't know about you, but like it wasn't so bad. But yeah, just with the release of this album, like thought that we were gonna maybe release it in March. This would have been months and months ago, and you know, plans just change and kind of get extended as they do.
Yeah.
So initially I was like, oh, that'll be so fun to release my record in my own season, in Pisces season. I thought that'd be very cute. But then that wasn't going to happen. And then I was like, okay, Aries season. I like that. That's some good energy. Let's go with that. And yeah, then it got pushed further, and now it's Taurus, which to me is cosmically right because it's called With Pleasure. I'm like, come on. Like,
I love
like
that.
Literally the whole premise of the whole record, it's like all of these singles put together, but the actual like experience of making that record was all about feeling good in the process. So I'm just like, I kind of love that it's going to be a little Taurus baby.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I really love that.
So, yeah.
So you've done like a few live videos already from Benalto Studio. So if folks want to check it out, they can already at this point see some of the live videos you've made there.
Yeah, there are some live videos that I did in studio last year, I think. Yeah. And then there are also some, because I have a Patreon page as well, and there are some up there that only patrons have access to. So patreon.com/Vissia. But yeah, on my YouTube channel, I have lots and lots of live videos, and ones that I've done in my bedroom and ones I've done in my basement. And then my Vivo channels where all the official music visuals are. So that's been really fun. It's been, I've never thought I'd do so much video, honestly. It's just living that video life these days, kind of out of necessity, and then learn to embrace it, you know. But I don't know, it doesn't ever get like fully comfortable for me, I don't think. Like, I've gotten a lot more comfortable, but I still have that like initial resistance to want to like create video content sometimes because it's that perfectionism tendency, maybe. You know, you do a take and then you're like, okay, I could do it better, just a little bit better. And then you do like 20 takes and it's like, okay, enough of this. Just get on with your life.
Yeah. But I feel like you are also like a visual artist, though. Like you've always been doing graphic design. Like for as long as I've known you, you've been like doing your own design, doing your own posters, like creating like really great art. And so it seemed like from an outsider's perspective that you kind of seamlessly made that jump into like focusing more on like the visual as well as the audio.
That's cool to hear. Thanks.
Well, that's my, you know, in my humble opinion, yeah. That's what it looks like over here. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, I do like being able to use like visuals as an extension of the music and the music expression, I think. And just like having that kind of tendency or like being able to lean into that, it's just for me and for who I am as an artist, I think it's something I would like to develop even further. Like I actually bought a graphics tablet recently that I've hardly touched, but my intentions are there. But yeah, I don't know. It's nice. I just feel really fortunate to have tools around me that enable me to do that kind of thing too, though, because I think there's like huge barriers to access for lots of artists because of just like the sheer cost of having to get this gear, you know? And so I feel very lucky that way. But yeah, in terms of artwork, like all of the single artwork, it's been very much like stills and photos taken from videos and things like that. But all of those artistic choices have been my own. And even like the album artwork itself was like, I, you know, directed that kind of thing and made those final decisions. And I did all of my own layout and design for the physical LPs and CDs and the one t-shirt design, which is kind of based on Madonna. It's like, I took the photo myself and edited it and everything. So yeah, I'm in there with all my fingers and toes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's awesome. And
thanks.
No, and you're great at it, but like you've always been, yeah, I feel like you're just like one of those people though, that's like, you're good at whatever you do. Like, you're just like, I'm going to be, I don't know. I guess I'm not trying to downplay it and be like, it's easy. Like, I know you put a lot of work and practice into things that you do, but it's just like, I feel like things you put in and energy into, it just shows. You're a very talented person, Alex. And I'm going on the record and saying that. Okay.
Thank you, Megan. No, thank you. Thank you very much.
No, you're welcome. I mean it.
You don't say things you don't mean.
No, I don't. I don't. It's yeah, and also I think it's because like for the longest time I thought I was Gemini rising because I didn't know my exact birth time, and then I finally found out my birth time, and I'm not Gemini rising, folks. I'm Cancer rising. So all my emotions are right here. Hi. They're right here. They're not hard to find, and like my face gives me away all the time. So yeah. And also, yeah, I'm Scorpio through and through, which has been kind of hard. Actually, it's been hard. You know, we're a year into this pandemic, and like I try, like something that I really struggle with is being judgmental. And also my moon's in Aquarius too. So if I think that somebody is like purposely just being mean and aggressive and like dangerous and violent over and over and over and over, I'm just like, if they're being ignorant, if somebody is being actively ignorant, I'm like, I can't deal. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm also like, I'm also judgy. And I'm also sensitive cause I'm Cancer rising. Yeah. Just a lot of feelings going on over
things.
Here.
Yeah. 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 It can be a lot to like sit with and yeah, there's a lot to get worked up over for sure.
Oh,
for good reason. Yeah.
But like, honestly though, like I don't know why I do this to myself, and this is something I have to work on. Like I've always, ever since I was a little kid, I've loved news. I've loved staying informed. I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Here's where I don't help myself though. I will read the comments. Why do I do that?
I don't know.
Alex, why do I do that?
You haven't learned that lesson yet. So the universe will keep delivering more of that to you.
I'm gonna, this is me promising to myself and to you and to the universe, I'm gonna try my best to stop doing that, because it actually just, it's not good for me. I just tend to spiral a little bit.
Yeah, it's like you kind of have to just pick a hill once in a while to die on, but like you probably should only do it a few times a year, maybe.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say a few times a week, and I'm like, okay, I could manage that.
No, I would say a few times a year. I feel like in those situations, like you're not gonna accomplish what you would love to accomplish anyway, because like you don't know people online anyway. It's like,
yeah,
that whole medium of communication or lack thereof, it's like,
yeah,
it's just so flawed, and it's like it's almost impossible to have other people hear you, because it's like, how do you meet someone on their level when you don't even really know what that is, because it's just based on this like paragraph that they wrote on the internet.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But yeah, no, I get it though. Once in a while I will give in to that urge. I'm like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
I really gotta get in here for this fight just for a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes it's just like, it's really, I would say actually like every time it's just pretty much useless. Like I had that happen to me online a couple months ago probably. And it was just like, wow, nobody's actually reading what I'm saying. And I'm being so like thoughtful and not like emotional about it. I'm just being very like chill, just asking questions, and was still getting slammed for no reason. And I was like, okay, I need to get out of here.
my screen time the other day, my iPhone, and like, honestly, I do like so much work through my iPhone. My iPhone is like timing this conversation right now. I always have my phone on, and I'm alone during the day too. And it's just, yeah. So I'm on the phone quite a bit, but the other day I got the alert saying that I was on my cell phone 7 hours daily that week. And I thought,
oh boy,
whoa, because, and it makes sense, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. during the day I'm doing socials for myself and for like, yep. other work. And then, I check my email a lot on my phone, and then the evening, oh, okay, I'm going to watch Trevor Noah on my phone. I like all this stuff. So I bought a puzzle, Alex. This is my first puzzle of the pandemic, 'cause I was like, I need something to do that's not screen related for like an hour in the evening just to, but you know what? Puzzles are hard.
How many pieces is your puzzle?
This is over 1,000, and it's the first puzzle I've ever bought and done as an adult. And like as a kid, I never finished them. Like my grandma would refuse to even start puzzles with me because she figured me out. She's like, I'm gonna end up finishing this by myself, Megan. I'm like, yeah, you are. But now I have this puzzle, and it's like all these like pretty summer flowers, and it's taking me so long. What have you been like? Have you picked up any new hobbies or skills? I'm waiting for one person to say something really extreme, like I learned how to build a sod house. Wouldn't that be an experience though, to like build a sod house? Could you imagine?
Yeah, that would be, yeah. No, I can't imagine. I haven't really picked up anything new other than like a regular workout schedule. That was pretty new to me. And and I did learn to run. So I can run about 5 kilometers without dying.
That's amazing. I don't know how people run. Good for you. I don't understand.
I don't do it often these days, but, it's getting really nice out now. And, yeah. So I'm looking forward to doing that a bit. Honestly, with running, the way I was able to do it was listening to podcasts while I run. Like yeah. Everyone's always like, what music do you listen to? I'm like, I don't. I listen to Brené Brown. Okay. Like,
yeah.
Or like whatever podcast, because I find like it keeps my brain busy, so I'm not focused on the pain. I don't know. It's gotten easier though, and it feels good when I do it. But yeah, I don't know. I do have a pair of roller skates in the basement. I really do have high hopes of somehow getting some roller skating ability, but that won't happen if they're just in the basement. So maybe I'll start lacing those up soon. But other than that, like, I don't know. I've just been really busy just working on career-related things. So you know, maybe something that is a new hobby for me is learning to actually appreciate and be present in the downtime, be like, you know, guilt-free when I'm doing things that aren't quote unquote productive or career oriented. Like, I haven't done a ton of reading per se, really. I haven't done a lot of writing, but like, it's just like, okay, I'm going to watch a show and I'm not going to feel bad about that. I'm going to just enjoy every minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just doing nothing. Like, I could just daydream full days away. Really. I really could. So
I love that. No, yeah, no, I daydream a lot.
Classic
too.
Classic Pisces.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Here's how I daydream. I like to create situations in my brain and get worked up over them and then go. And then I have to be like, Megan, this isn't reality. This isn't a real thing. Like, chill. Have you watched anything lately? What are you watching these days?
Oh, I am right now watching a K-drama called One Spring Night. I think that's what it's called. And it is excruciating, but I keep watching it.
Yeah.
Because these characters are so, so frustrating. I'm just like yelling at my TV. Like, I've never been this kind of watcher, but I'm just like, dump him. Dump your boyfriend. Like, what are you doing? Like, be with the pharmacist. What are you doing? Like, I'm just, I get so worked up. And for some reason, that's just been the mood I've been in. But honestly, TV and films, like, I wasn't really digging into them until the last like couple months. And now like I've had bouts where I'm just like ravenous for them. Also anime is another thing. And yeah, if anyone's never seen also The Dragon Prince on Netflix, you should probably watch it because it is very cute and magical and probably made for children, but I love it.
Oh, so, no, that's cool. I like that recommendation. Here's a terrible show that I only watched one episode of, and I think I'm going to keep watching it. Like when I want to have something on, but I'm not actually, I don't want to give it my full attention. This like marriage or mortgage show or mortgage or marriage. I don't know which
one. Oh my God. This sounds like something you would watch.
Because I love watching trash. I do love watching trash. And like, I'm waiting. I'm patiently waiting for another season of Love is Blind. Like that show.
Oh my gosh.
I loved it because I love it when people like meet each other and then within like a day, they're like, they say, I love you. It's so silly to me. It's so silly.
It's ridiculous.
I love it so much. I don't know what it is. It's just, and then, you know,
I think it's just, it's so far from like anything you could ever see yourself doing. So you're like, wow, people like this exist. Like people are in this situation and they just felt like, yes. And it's probably like, you know, just the energy of being in that situation. It's like, you're on a show, like everything's heightened. Everything's kind of just not, well, nothing is real, even though it's like reality TV or whatever, but like, yeah, it is fascinating.
Well, my friend, I look forward to the day when we can safely cross paths again, share, you know, and have a few beyond meat burgers from A&W. This is not an ad, but if you're listening, A&W, make this an ad. I love A&W so much.
Yeah, I know you do.
And I love you. It's so nice to see you. Thanks for being
love
a guest,
too.
Pal. Bye.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Bye. Alex, thank you so much for being such a great guest. Dear listener, please check out our music. Visit viciamusic.com. Pre-save, pre-order, do whatever you gotta do to get your hands on that record. I think you're really gonna enjoy it. Okay, you've been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan, and we have some people to thank. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, the Saskatchewan Arts Board, now known as Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. This podcast is made possible because of the ongoing support of these agencies in spite of everything that's going on in this pandemic-fatigued world we live in. Special thank you to the Garys for the music. The Creative City Center is a community-based art center that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are a home for a lot of online production, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they're cooking up besides all this pep and ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.